Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you, as always, in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Friend, listen, He wants to be your Savior. He can be your Savior. In fact, He came to be your Savior. In the book of Luke 19 and 10, the Word of God says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And friend, if you're in that category when you start this day, by the grace of God, listen, by the grace of God, you can be in the found category, the saved category on your way to heaven. You know what you can do? You can change your destiny today. In fact, by the grace of God, God will change your heart through the work that Christ has done at Calvary, through the work that the Holy Spirit would do for you and to you. And listen, it'll change. It'll change your eternity. I've opened my Bible to the book of Second Samuel, book of Second Samuel, right after First Samuel, right before the book of First Chronicles, chapter 23. And I'm gonna preach a little message that I trust would be a blessing to you out of that passage. But before I do, Deb's got a song queued up and ready to go. The title of it is "Fastened to the Rock." And friend, listen, I'll tell you, that's the best place to be. It's not the only place. When the storms come, I'll tell you, when eternity sets in, trust me, that'll be the place to be. I'll be back in a few moments, 2 Samuel.
Oh, sometimes my hope looks dim, but my faith must be in Him. Looking for answers to come while I wait. But I know one thing for sure, in Jesus Christ I am secure. And I know I am fastened to the rock. I am fastened to the rock. The rock of all ages, in Him I find sweet peace, this I know. For He tells me to be still, and He will show me His will. I must wait upon the Lord and stand on the rock. Is renewed, Lord, my strength, it comes from You, and I know with You that I'll carry on. For my anchor holds fast to this rock that will ever last. How blessed I am to be fastened to the rock. Still, and He will show.
hope you are, friend. I'll tell you, I hope you are. There's two things to build on for eternity, the rock and sand. And I hope you're building on the right one. I certainly do. Thank you, Debbie, for that song. Well done. Beautiful message. We appreciate it from the depths of our heart. In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23, I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. We're going to find out about three great men. Now look, David was giving in this chapter his last words. Now they weren't literally his last words, but he was nearing death. He was nearing his crossing. You know what he wanted to do? This great man of God wanted to give acclimates, wanted to recognize people that affected his life, that were a positive part of his life, that helped him achieve what he achieved and be what he was in many ways as a king over the nation of Israel. We find Paul like that. And listen, this is a picture of Jesus Christ. He takes note of our service. I don't care who you are, what you are. I don't care what level you think you're at. I don't care how you identify yourself, where you place yourself in God's family. I want you to know, friend, that no service for the King, I'm about to get happy, no service for the King is ever overlooked, is ever not rewarded in the right way by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Look here in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23, verse 13 and following. And three of the chief went down and came to David in the harvest time to the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines, drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. You're talking about a man after God's own heart. Listen, friend, this amazes me. Every time I read this, David's reaction to what these three mighty men did on his behalf to meet a need. But can I tell you something? They met a bigger need, a greater need in the life of David than the fact that he could have quenched their thirst, his thirst, with their efforts and with their gift that they brought to him. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this," talking about the water, "is not this water the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. I'm going to talk to you a little while today, the good Lord willing, about this thought: how to please the King. How to please the King. If you're saved today, say amen. Everyone that just said amen, and though maybe you didn't say amen, you're still saved. You know what our desire is? Down in the depths of our heart, down in the stirrings of our soul, we want to please the King. So the message today is this. It's a how-to message. How to please the King. How to please the King. Hey, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, and yet I do. I believe you and I both, friend. I believe everybody that names the names of Jesus wants to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord one day." But can I tell you, listen, He'll only say that to those who have done well. Not everybody will. Not everybody will. There'll be people that go after the judgment into eternity, friend, with 100-fold, with 60, with 30, and some, like J. Vernon McGee says, after they go by the judgment seat of Christ, that bema where He that sits on the throne judging us and reckoning, friend, our labors and our motives and our work done for Him in the body. Listen, J. Vernon McGee said there'll be some people in heaven smell like they come through a fire cell. And I say amen to that. But look, friend, these men, they had a desire to please the King. And again, if you're saved, if your sins are under the blood, if you've been sealed with the Spirit of God, their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, you've got that desire, you've got that longing, you have got that want in your heart to please Him who is and was and always shall be. Well, I'll tell you what, friend, as we look at David at this place, from all indication, he was running from Saul. from running from Saul, he had found his place again at a familiar place. It was the cave of Adullam. It wasn't far. It wasn't far from Jerusalem, I don't think, but it looks like, according to the Word of God, because it was in harvest season, it was in a dry time. It was in a dry season. Or maybe, friend, it could have been that David was there. He was fleeing from Saul, no doubt, that he just began to reflect back on his childhood, on life when it was simpler and easier without the demands, without all the enemies. He began to long for that refreshing water that as a boy he would drink himself by the out of that well by the gate of Bethlehem. No doubt he fetched it many times for his mother, but he knew what it was to quench the thirst of his body from that little well of water. But listen, David had been anointed at this time as king, but he yet didn't occupy the throne. He was yet to sit upon that throne. And I want you to know something, friend. There's an emphasis here on three men that are unnamed. Hey, can I tell you what? The world may not know my name. The world may not know your name, sir or ma'am. But can I tell you the truth? Thank God, listen. The King knows your name. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you long to do. He knows what you're capable of. Hey, listen, friend. He knows. The King knows. These three men were well known by the King. He knew they were in the cave. He knew that they had resorted to him. I want you to know something, friend. I'm sure if I'd have lived in that day, I wouldn't have been a part of this story. I wouldn't be on David's list of his mighty men. I realize that. I'm not a mighty man. I'm not a mighty preacher. I understand all of those things. Listen, friend, glory to God. That doesn't keep me from wanting to be there. That doesn't keep the longing of my heart from swelling up and saying, oh, what a great privilege that would have been. Oh, listen, the Bible said, let a man abide in the calling wherein he is called. But listen, although I can't be in the 30, although I can't be even the last of the 30, I want you to know that doesn't keep me from wanting to be. That doesn't keep my heart spiritually from stirring and speaking and longing and crying out and seeking after God to become more than I've ever been, to do more than I've ever done, to long for more than I've ever longed for. Of all the many things we could consider about these three men, I want us to focus upon three for this message. But can I tell you, regardless of their exploits, the thing that motivated them, listen, the thing that motivated these three men was their desire to please the King. Hey, can I tell you something, friend? If you're doing service for the Lord and it seems like drudgery, I mean to tell you, if you've lost the joy of it, if the luster of it seems to have faded away, if there's no sheen for you in your eyes as you do the work that God's called you to, gifted you to, enabled you to do, I'll tell you, maybe you need to get off somewhere in a cave with the Lord. Look at Him, listen to Him, spend time getting close to Him once again and see how that would change your life. Oh, listen, friend, they had a desire to please the King, and I want to, don't you? Oh, I want to please Him that is and was and always shall be. Do you know what? They knew Him. They loved Him. They honored Him. They were happy in service to Him. They enjoyed being near Him and in His presence. Isn't that how it is for you and I? Don't you just long, listen, don't you just long to feel His touch? Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. We're always in the presence of the Lord. We don't get there when we go to church. We don't have to go in any special place that's been named and dedicated for the Lord. All we have to do is simply be. Rise every morning, go to bed every night, and realize that we're in the presence of the King. It's not that He isn't near. The problem is that you and I am afraid. I'm afraid as we're just not simply cognizant of it or aware of it or understanding that that He is near. Now I want you to know something. Since falling under His command, they realize that their life was no longer their own. These three men who chose to follow this king, this upstart king, this king that had been anointed by Samuel, after Saul had been anointed. Hey, these three men decided that they're going to give their lives to the king. They were under no obligation. It was a matter of free will choice. And oh, listen, friend, how the Bible said we have not chosen him, but he has chosen us. But can I tell you how we choose what kind of service we give him? We choose if what we do is a desire to please the king. Oh, thank God. But what do I need to do, preacher, in order to please the king? Well, there are at least three things that we can glean from this passage. Number one, they were close enough to hear his whisper. Oh, David was in that cave. I don't know where they were at. I don't know if he was at the mouth looking out over that Judean hillside. I have no idea. But I'll tell you what he began to think. Maybe he was physically thirsty. I know he was, without a doubt, or he wouldn't have spoke to the water. But I believe there's deeper longing in his heart. And you know what, David didn't issue an order. I don't even think that he said it very loud. I'd like to think that he just kind of said, "Oh, wouldn't it be good to have a drink out of that well?" Now, Bethlehem once again, he didn't use it in a loud voice. I just see him kind of whispering, if you will. Can I ask you, where are you in your relationship with the Lord? Where are you in your fellowship with Him? Oh, how close are you? Are you like Peter on that day that Jesus was crucified? Are you like Peter that day when all the apostles said forsook him and fled? Are you like Peter was that day when they took Jesus up before Caiaphas and then Peter, and the Bible said he followed the Lord afar off? Where are you? Where are you? Listen, Jesus, when he walked in the footstool of God, had a multitude to follow him. But you know what he did? He chose 12. There were 3 of those 12 that got closer to Jesus than the others did. Peter, James, and John. Oh, what privileges they had. What great opportunities they had. Because they were close to him, they saw what others did not see. They experienced what others did not experience. And one of them in the upper room was closer than all the rest. I thank God it was John who leaned upon the bosom of Jesus. And you know what he did there? Oh, listen, I don't know whether these three men were close enough for the breath of David to fall upon them when he said, "Oh, that I might have a drink from the water of the well at Bethlehem." But here in the upper room, there was John leaning upon the breast of Jesus. And I want you to notice 2 things. Hey, he felt the breath of Jesus fall upon him. But more than that, he heard the heartbeat of God. Oh, how I long to hear the heartbeat of God. How I long, friend, how I long to just simply get close enough to him. That just the smallest desire that he has for my life. Now, not your life. I can't compete with you. We're not in competition. I can't do what you do. I can't go where you go. I can't be what you are. But I can be what I am, what God intends me to be. And that's what I want. How I want to please the King. Oh, how I want to please the King, don't you? But look, friend, not only were they close enough to hear him whisper, you know what? They were loyal enough to make a wish a command. I love this. Listen, when they heard this, immediately their hearts sprung into action. Immediately, I believe those three men looked at each other. I don't know that they had to say a word, but their heart was in tune. I mean, to tell you immediately, you know what they did? They picked up rocks for their sack. And they had their sling in one hand, a Lord, no doubt on their side, and bless God, they have their heart full of a desire to please that King. All these men sprang into action. Nothing got in their way. They didn't say, well, maybe we'll do this tomorrow, or let's pray about it tonight. They knew immediately, friend, in their heart, that word of the King was now their word. It was their will. It was their bidding. It was their doing. Now look, they did this because they knew David. They wanted to do this because they loved David. They loved him as only a man can. Their hearts messed with that King. And only hearing the longing of their king's heart was enough for them to turn his desire into a command. Listen, friend, pleasing the King. Pleasing the King. Providing for the King. Serving the King was all that mattered to these three men. So look, they were close enough to hear him whisper. They were loyal enough to make his wish, to make a wish, a command. And here they were brave enough to hazard their lives. Or do you know what? I don't believe, according to what I read and what I see, that they were far from Bethlehem. The journey was doable. I mean, the trip was doable. But listen, do you know what they did? They clearly understood the dangers that was before them that they faced. They knew that the Philistines had a garrison in Bethlehem. They knew that they were in the Valley of Rephaim. They knew that the enemy was all around. And they knew that if they went to get the water, the well, out of Bethlehem near the gate, that they'd have to hazard their lives. They knew that they would need to breach the enemy lines two times if they were successful coming and going. Isn't that amazing? Oh, look, what does it take to trip you up? What does it take to turn you back? What does it take to stop you from doing the King's bidding? What does it take from the enemy to cause you to say, well, I really didn't think it could be done anyway. I just thought I'd check and see. Can I tell you? These men, friends, settled it in the cave. Their hearts again was so messed with David that his desire was their command. How wonderful that it was. They knew as a servant of the King that their lives was no longer their own. Oh, don't we need to know that? Don't we need to know that? They knew that their service, when they came to David, they knew their lives, friend, what belonged to somebody else, belonged to the King that they now served. You know what they did? They give their lives that way willingly. They give their lives to David wantingly. They reserved nothing, friend. Neither of them said, now listen, fellas, you all go before me and I'll kind of lag back. And if you make it, I'll follow you through. You know what? They were in it all together. They were in it, friend. They faced the enemy faithful. They faced the enemy bravely. They faced the enemy confidently, friend. And they knew, excuse me again, that they would have to face the enemy twice. Now let's bring it home. Let me ask you something. What's your desire today? Is your desire to please the King that you serve? You say, preacher, He's my Lord. He's my Savior. Yeah, but He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Listen, friend, you understand this message. I don't have to quantify it or qualify it. Is your desire to please the King? Why do you do what you do? What motivates you? What stirs your heart? Do you have a longing? Do you have a burning? Do you have an excitement about it? Do you say, hey, my life is no longer mine. I've been bought with a price. Is He still your priority? Is He still, listen, first in your life? Does He take the preeminence? Is He prominent in this thing? Hey, how is your desire to serve the King? I want you to know He takes notice of our choices. He understands our sacrifices. If we can call anything we do in this day a sacrifice, I want you to know, friend, listen, David knew. And look at his reaction. When they brought that water back, David, a man after God's own heart, looked at it, realized what they had done, and he poured it out as a libation, as a drink offering, if you will, knowing what these men had done. Can I tell you what, friend? David's reaction is amazing. Jesus knows what you do, why you do it, how you do it, when you do it. And can I tell you what? My desire is to please the King. How to please the King? Let me give them to you again. Be close enough to hear Him whisper. Loyal enough to make His wish a command. And brave enough to hazard our lives for Him. It's a possibility. It's available to me and you today. The Bible says we can draw nine to God and He'll draw nine to us. Let's listen, not only think about doing it, but let's determine by the grace of God to start today. I don't know about you, but I want to please the King. Thanks for joining me. Until the next time, God bless you is my prayer.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ears. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.